The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's your favorite Office episode?
Oh, man, that sounds like picking your favorite kid. That's... Hi, I'm Josh Brooks, the J. Reed Parker Director of Athletics at the University of Georgia and Office superfan.
Hi there, everybody. We're back. You're back. We're all here. This is Off the Beat. And I am your host, Brian Baumgartner. I'm so stoked for our guest today. He's a pretty big deal to me, and he should be to anyone who loves college sports. Josh Brooks happens to be the athletic director of my childhood love, the University of Georgia Bulldogs. And over the last 3 years, he has helped lead their athletic program to unprecedented heights in softball, volleyball, soccer, track and field, and of course, their football team, back-to-back national championships the last 2 years, and one more, if I have my way, this year, go Dogs. In this conversation, you're going to hear how I met Josh. Let's just say it was a viral moment, to be sure. Josh is a fan of The Office, so yes, we're going to talk a little Office today. But now, the truth is, I'm about as big a fan of his work as he is of mine. He's just about the best in the business in college athletics. He's up for awards. But here's the thing. He's even nicer than he is accomplished. So I can't wait for you to get to know him today. He talks frankly about, well, a multitude of topics, ripping through the headlines of college sports, controversy at Michigan, pressures of NIL, and of course, the transfer portal. You're not going to want to miss this. And Josh, guess what? I'm going to release this to the public, just like you sent us viral a few years ago. Yeah, this thing right here, this is going to be on the intranet. Here he is, my buddy, Josh Brooks.
Bubble and squeak, I love it. Bubble and squeak, I know. Bubble and squeak, I cook it every morning, left over from the night before.
Go Dogs!
Go Dogs. Got the hat on. Love it.
Go Dogs. Of course I have the hat on. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. How you doing?
I'm great. We're what, 49 hours away from kickoffs.
49 hours as we're recording this podcast from the SEC Championship game. I'm so excited about this game. I think it's going to be the proverbial game of the century that happens every year. How are you feeling about it?
You know, I'm always, I'm nervous, but I'm nervous for every game, whether it's a, we have a women's basketball game tonight or men's basketball game last night. I live in a state of nervousness for every game. So, but thankfully I don't have to do anything but just show up. So
how many games do you go to over the course of a week? Are you going to away games?
I never miss a football away game. I try to make a few away games of other sports if I can, when the travel works out. If it's NCAA tournament, I try to go. But there's a conflict. Like, our volleyball team is playing in Provo, Utah tomorrow night. But that game is 6:30 Eastern time in Utah, and there's no way I can make it back. So I won't make that. But last year, we were playing in Austin, Texas volleyball, and I went to a volleyball match Friday night in Texas, flew back, got into Atlanta, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and made it back to the SEC Championship game. So jeez. I'll try to get, you know, it's a lot of travel. You know, just this week alone, men were on the road last night at Florida State. Women played Duke tonight at home. Men basketball have Mercer Friday night. Women volleyball, first round Arizona State at Utah, and then football on Saturday. So it's 21 sports. It's nonstop, but it's fun, you know?
I mean, it sounds very fun. It sounds like a good job to me. But yes, being on the road that much is a lot. I learned a lot about you. And I mean, I knew about you, but I've learned a lot about you in preparing to talk to you. It's fascinating stuff. First off, I want to mention how we got connected. You and I take us through the, because we haven't fully talked about it. I don't know exactly how it happened.
Yeah.
But it was when you got the position as the athletic director of Georgia. Tell me what happened.
So it all starts, I've got a good group of buddies, Clark, Will, Brad, and Tanner. We have a group text, and it's one of those group texts that's been going on for 10 plus years. And okay, it's always full of, you know, office memes or this and that, where, you know, it's nonstop this and that. And Clark and I debate over who's the bigger Office fan. We even had a bet at the end of the series that he thought Jim and Pam were going to break up. Okay. And he had to buy me dinner when they did not. Because I'm more of an optimist and Clark's more of a realist. And Clark's like, they're going to break. He was so set that they were going to break up that he saw it coming. So we've been Office diehards for the longest time. We knew you had a connection to Georgia. And so Clark, being the diehard fan he was, the day that I got the AD job, he did the cameo with you.
Yeah.
And he shows up at my house. And he's just like, hey, I need to show you something. And I'm thinking, oh God, 3 days in the job. What? There's a problem. What's wrong? He's like, I got to show you this. And he goes, he connects to my TV with his phone and he streams it and you pop up. And I was like, oh my God, this is the crazy. And then you went above and beyond, which was great because it wasn't just a normal, like you made it so much better. And it was, and then I think I posted it or shared it.
Yes.
And then it went viral. And I wonder if he's even going to see this.
Yes. It went viral. So from my perspective, you know, I get requests to send people messages, and I saw this request and I'm like, well, this is fun. Here's the new guy. And I think I went crazy and said a bunch of go dogs type things. Of course, the wolf wolf. I don't think much about it. And then suddenly Yahoo Sports, ESPN, like suddenly this thing is like living on and on. It was really fun. It was.
And that's funny because sometimes in our world, we think so small. We're like, is he even going to see this? Is he even going to realize that this thing's going viral?
Well, you made sure. No, you made sure that I was going to see it. I mean, it went everywhere, which is very, very fun.
Yeah, that got me some cool points with people who are like, how did you pull that off? Like, well, Clark, it was a great present from Clark. He took care of it.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about The Office in a bit. You grew up in Louisiana.
That's right.
Hammond, Louisiana. I understand you played high school football. What position did you play?
Linebacker.
You were a linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
Were you tough or no?
Toughness, yeah. That's probably the only attribute you could give me credit for, is being tough. I will claim that. Not fast, not strong.
Yeah, slow and tough.
Yeah, slow and tough. I would make the tackle. It wasn't pretty.
Right.
My coach would often yell at me about the way I would tackle, but I was results oriented is how I would tackle. That's the best way to describe myself, but very average.
Okay. And I don't know if these things normally go together. They seemed not to me, but what do I know? So you played high school football, and then you also threw the javelin.
Yeah. That's a random one. That was one that my older brother's friend threw it in high school, and he got a scholarship to LSU, and his dad started helping me out. And it was a basically like a money ball way for me to find an event that no one else was doing. And with a bad arm but good technique, you could make up for a lot of, you know, you could make up a lot of ground. So just because I had really good technique, I could beat a lot of people. But what happened was in high school, the coach knew I was so good at the technique, and he had no idea how to throw it, that he'd often bring like the kid with the strongest arm out to practice, say, "Hey, Josh, teach this kid how to throw." And a week later, they're still kicking my butt. And I'm like, why did I even show this guy how to throw? He's killing me. So I inevitably trained everybody to be better than me in javelin. I guess that's when I thought I'd be a good coach at that point, because when you can't do something, you coach it as best you can.
When was the last time you threw a javelin? Do you go show your students now?
Well, my son, he wants to be a decathlete. He's training to be a decathlete right now. So javelin's one of his events. So I've been working with him on that, and I've taught him how to throw. But my track team did not know. The majority of my track team had no idea I threw the javelin in high school. And we had a staff decathlon a year ago or so. And I missed the first part of it. And I walked out to the decathlon late where the staff was all competing. And 90% of the staff could barely throw a javelin. And I showed up in a tie, slacks, and dress shoes. I took my dress shoes off with the tie still on, slacks still on, grabbed the javelin and beat everybody on the staff in the throw. And it was that video, I'll have to text it to you. It became a little viral because it just looked so funny. Some guy barefooted in a tie slinging a javelin.
Well, you know what that reminds me of? Another guy in a sport coat and a tie and dress shoes shooting hoops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that no one saw coming.
That's what that, and no one saw it coming.
I watched that episode just 2 days ago, I think, as a matter of fact.
If you need somebody to come and teach your guys and gals there how to shoot.
Shoot free throws, if nothing else.
Yeah. That's free throw line extended. That's a 15-foot arc around that I was hitting. And that was one take, Josh.
Really?
And no edits. On the DVD, there's 13 in a row.
Are you serious?
Greg Daniels called me and said, "I'm really sorry. We couldn't use 6 minutes of the episode. You just shooting free throws. We had to edit it down a little bit." You went to LSU. Did you always, being from Louisiana, was that where you always wanted to go?
Yeah, when you grow up in South Louisiana, that becomes the home base school you root for and the place you care about. And so that was my childhood dream to go to LSU. And you know, my dream in high school was to be the head football coach there one day and win a national championship. So that was always in my mind in high school, that's what I was going to do. And people thought it. And look, people thought I was crazy, but I knew that dream at an early age, and people made fun of me about it at an early age, which is funny now because now my mom will run into somebody from my hometown and like, "They always knew you were going to do big things." I'm like, "No, they didn't. People make fun of me all the time. They didn't know I'd ever hear that."
So you initially, you wanted to be a coach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But when I left LSU after being a student assistant, and I worked for Jimbo Fisher. He was the offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach at LSU. Saban was the head coach. I left to go to Louisiana Monroe to be a GA, and I coached there for 2 years. And then after 2 years of being a GA there, my head coach offered me a job as football ops. He's like, "Look, I don't really hire people that didn't play college football, but you're really good at computers. You're organized. I think you have a career path in this." And I didn't see it. I didn't understand it. But I'm so glad he did that for me because I've enjoyed this pathway. Although there's always that little pull on your heartstrings of like, man, what if I was, you know, still coaching and doing, you know, but obviously I can't complain.
So that's what put you on the path.
Yeah. Is that change where I literally got out of coaching and went into administration but I was, you know, 23, 24 years old off my first full-time job, making $20,000 a year. I thought I was rich and made it and was ready to start my career.
Well, by the way, you just rolled through some names. I'm going to roll through a few more. You're at LSU. Saban is the coach. Jimbo Fisher is there as the OC, if I'm not mistaken. Freddie Kitchens is there. Adam Gase is there. Will Muschamp is there. I mean, this is
Eric Dooley, Stan Hickson.
Eric Dooley was there at the same time?
Derek Dooley was coaching tight ends, recruiting coordinator. Stan Hickson, a longtime great coach, worked with Michael Haywood, who was eventually, you know, coached at other places. So it was a...
This is the tree. I mean, this is literally the tree.
Yeah, it was insanity to think to be in, or just to be as a student assistant charting and being on the headset, listening to Coach Fisher and all those guys talk and be witness to that was just unbelievable. What a great experience at 21 years old to see and hear those things.
As you mentioned, you end up going to Louisiana Monroe, but I got to ask you a question. If LSU called and said, come be the athletic director here, do you go?
No. I mean, honestly, people ask me that question all the time. So I
so it's a bad question?
No, I want the answer. I like being public about it because it's no disrespect to LSU. It's a great place, great people. Obviously, I've got a ton of family back there. But when you go from LSU and you work at Louisiana Monroe so many years, you lose the tie to your institution, and it becomes more about people you work with. So I don't even root for LSU. I just root for people I've worked with more than anything else. And then
right.
I've been at Georgia now 14 years. My children were born here. You know, this is my home. This is my place. This is where I want to spend the rest of my life. And I don't mean that.
That's where you want to spend the rest of your life.
Yeah. I mean,
you're on the record right now. Yeah.
My dream is to work here until I can retire. And then I'd love to live here after that. I mean, if you look at the track record of people, whether it's football coaches or other coaches or administrators that have worked here and then retire and stay here, it's just a great, I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, over the top about my love of Athens, but it's just a really great place to live. And if they'll have me, I'll stay as long as I can.
I do have to ask you about your time. I love this at Louisiana Monroe. You're a graduate assistant, and I read the story that the budget was very low for the athletic department there.
That is a fair assessment.
And the school could not afford snacks. For the football players after summer workouts. So you went to a local store and you struck a deal to get peanut butter and jelly and a local bakery to give bread, and you and other graduate assistants would make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the football players. True or false?
That is true. That's some good research right there. That's impressive.
We've got a crack team here, Josh. So
we didn't have.
I found out a lot I won't talk about. No, that's
this. This was before the days of the resources that you can now provide without any cost, you know, to student athletes. And we didn't have a lot of money back then at Monroe, so we're very resourceful. And I went to a local grocery store. They would give us gift cards that we exchanged for PB&J, and then the local bakery would give me like 2-day old bread.
Right.
So me and the student assistants would make sandwiches nonstop, wrap them up, put them in the refrigerator, and the kids would come by all summer. And that's how we kept our team. You know, they had meal plans and stuff, but this was their way to get all the extra stuff instead of the shakes and smoothies and things like that. This was our supplements.
A little snack. That's right.
A little fridge. And it helped feed me a couple days a week, too.
Yeah, so there, you, there you go. Maybe it's just like yesterday for you, but it's been so long. 2007, you're the director of football operations at Louisiana Monroe, and you play a game in Tuscaloosa. And now this is Saban's first year with the Tide. He's gone to Alabama, and Louisiana Monroe wins in Tuscaloosa 21-14. Were you there?
I was football ops there. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, but you were in the stadium.
No, I was on the sideline.
You were on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that where your hatred for Alabama started? Not hatred, your rivalry. Is that like, and Saban is there and you had worked under him at LSU. Like, how special was that game for you personally?
That was special for me, honestly, because, you know, I felt there was an opportunity that I had to, that I was interviewed for a job. The one thing I didn't tell you about when I was at Monroe, after my first year at Monroe, Coach Fisher called me back up and said there was a job opportunity for it to be a GA at LSU.
This is Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, and yeah. I interviewed and didn't get it. That's a whole another story. But so there was a little bit of resentment towards LSU. That's where a little bit of my resentment started towards LSU, is that I didn't get that job. Hmm. They won a national championship the next year while I was still at Monroe. So there was a little bit of a, you know, not a rivalry, but, you know, me wanting to beat them. But at the same time, you know, I have to be thankful for Coach Saban and everything else. For I wouldn't be where I am today without all those coaches and the experience. So it's a mixed emotion of, yeah, I want to beat him. You want to beat everybody, but that's where it started a little bit for me. And yeah. I always love to give Kirby a hard time about that, because he was at at Bama that year too. So whenever he makes a jab at me, I always remind him that he was on the side, the other sidelines of that game when we took him down. But the funny thing about that story, and this was not me, this was one of the coaches on our staff. So when you're at a school like Louisiana Monroe and you play Alabama, normally when you lose that game and you're shaking hands with the other coaches, one of the common comments that the big school tells the small school, and I've been on the other end of this a million times, hey, good luck in conference. It's kind of a way of saying like, yeah, we beat you, but we're going to hope y'all do well in your conference. One of our coaches went right up to one of the Bama coaches and shook his head and said, good luck in conference.
Oh, that's so good. Oh,
I don't take one thing I've learned in this life. I don't take victory laps. I don't do, you know, I've always right. tried to, in all victories, stay humble because, you know, when you come up through Monroe and when you come up that end, I've been on both sides of it. So I've learned in this profession, you better stay humble or you will quickly be humbled. So
yeah,
I don't take victory laps. When we beat someone, I go to my counterpart and I'm like, almost like just hugging them and giving them a nice handshake and just saying, good game. You know, I've never, before I celebrate, I try to at least be gracious. Well,
you're a nice guy.
I am a nice guy. I'll try to be at least.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Not only did Zyn create the first ever nicotine pouch, we're still America's number one choice for smoke-free, spit-free nicotine satisfaction. It could be because Zyn is made with only 6 simple ingredients, including naturally derived nicotine salt. Or maybe it's because Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day trial. For anyone worried Zyn won't cut it like traditional tobacco, just ask one of the millions of people who have achieved lasting change. You have lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at Zyn.com/find. That's Zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Briefly, you go to Georgia 2008-14 for the first time. Your football ops there. You are getting your master's at the same time, right? That you become an associate athletic director there. Are you just working your ass off?
And I think, so that was in like 12 through 14. So I had twin 3-year-olds and a 1-year-old at the time. So so my wife appreciated the baby. I can't help the kids. I got to study for this midterm.
Yeah, she's going to heaven for sure.
She's a saint. Yeah. So yeah. I knew it's not the case in every situation, but in a lot of situations, when they post an AD job, they say there's a requirement of a master's degree, or at least say master's degree preferred. So I was like, I need to check this box just to not have any reason that someone couldn't interview me.
Got it.
Or any reason. But, you know, so I went into it with a mindset of I need to check this box. But actually, I went to grad school, Georgia, and it was great for two things. One, it made me think in different ways that I hadn't before from a textbook standpoint of sports management. And two, brought me a deeper connection with Georgia, because now it's prideful to say, like, I'm a Georgia grad, I'm an alum. And that means yep. something to me, that the fact that I want to be the rest of my life, that I can say I'm not just a, you know, person who worked here, I'm a person who actually graduated from here. So that's helped deepen my connection, and makes it a little more special for me.
Of course. You get that degree and immediately get an athletic director job. Millsaps College there in Jackson, Mississippi. This was my fun fact about this time. You were one of the first athletic directors, and a young athletic director, a newly minted athletic director in college sports, to introduce on-site beer gardens at the game. And you had a little pushback on this. Is that right? Talk to me about the decision that, like, why did you make the decision? Why did you feel like it was a good thing?
So I felt at a place like Millsaps, you can take chances, I thought. And it's a place where I could take a chance and do something different. And I knew that organically, you weren't going to have a lot of people just show up at Millsaps football games in Jackson, Mississippi. So we had to do something different to excite the local families and people to come out to games. So when I went on the interview at Millsaps, I said, I'm going to be myself to the full, lay it all out there. I've had a few ideas, one of them being the beer garden. But there was a handful of ideas I pitched. And I said, they're either going to like me, or they're going to hire me, or they're not going to like me, and they're not going to hire me, and it wasn't meant to be. So I pitched all my ideas like that. I had a few other ones similar to that, and they loved them. And I get there, and I get hired in July, and the football season obviously starts in September. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna wait till a year in and start the beer garden. You don't come in and throw all your crazy ideas out there. And then a couple weeks in, people were like, hey, man, what's up with this beer garden you told us about in the interview? I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this. So you know, we had a Methodist affiliation at Millsaps. And it's interesting because, not to get too into deep into the religion part, but there was a debate amongst some different Methodist entities basically arguing John Wesley's feelings on alcohol. Some felt it was none, and some felt that it was in moderation. And I felt that this was a good way to moderate drinking in a way people could do it safely, because people weren't getting, you know, we were controlling it, and it was a way to right. do it responsibly. But, you know, the hate mail I got was actually from people who weren't even affiliated with Millsaps. It was just random people from other faiths that were sending me letters, and it got a little nasty there for a little bit. But it, with all things, it passed, and they still have it today. And what's funny, and this is funny but not funny, the beer garden is right next to the kid zone. We created a kid zone too. And that sounds funny, but it works out great, because the parents want to like drop their kids off at the kid zone.
Yeah.
Walk it's a 30 feet in the other direction advantage. And go have a beer at the beer garden and let little Johnny and Susie run around. And so we it was about making it more than just a game. And I said that with all due respect to the student athletes, but we had to do something bigger. So we created a kid zone, a beer garden. We took the student section, and we would do fun things like we did a foam party one time during a game, where we literally had a big foam pit and just let the students have fun. So it was a place where you could try things, make mistakes, learn and grow. And it was just a phenomenal place for me to cut my teeth and try some things.
After a couple more years at Louisiana Monroe, you go back to Georgia. Now, when you go back to Georgia in 2016 to take an associate athletic director job, do you see that as your path? Do you think I'm going to be there forever?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the, I left in 14 to go to Millsaps to, and ULM to get outside of my comfort zone. If you can imagine at Georgia, I'd come up through the ranks, and then I was associate AD, but I was in just a couple areas of responsibility. And I had to step out of that to get experience in fundraising and marketing and ticket sales and everything else and right. all that. So when I came back to Georgia, it was all due respect to everyone in the building, but I'm coming back to take the next step. And I was going to be patient on it, because I didn't know if I'd get, I knew Greg, my previous boss, he had a few years left. He was going to retire at some point, but I was okay with, okay, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. I'll be ready to take a job somewhere else. And this is now going to cap off my experience, and I'll be ready to interview for whatever's next. But it worked out, and I'm, you know, luck, timing just merged at the right time, and it worked out. But I came back with the thought of, I'm either going to be at Georgia, be the number two or three the rest of my career, or hopefully there's an opportunity here somewhere else.
Since 2021, the athletic director of Georgia, I've got to give you a bunch of fun facts here. 2023 Sports Bureau Journal Athletic Director of the Year finalist. Georgia, highest ranking in 18 years, ranked 7th in the Learfield Director's Cup, basically excellence in sports athletics. This stat is insane, Josh. Georgia has 21 sports, 17 finished with a top 20 ranking, and 9 ended up in the top 10 of 2023. Is that the best stat for you? Is that the stat you're most proud of?
Yeah, and you know, it's you can never take anything away from a national championship in any sport, and obviously football is just amazing, but I do take a lot of pride, and I want to be good in every. I'm a competitor. I love to compete, and I want to be good in all 21 sports. I always make the joke that if we started a badminton team tomorrow, I'd want to have the best badminton team in the country. Yeah. I'm a competitor, and that's why I love this job so much. But yeah, there's a lot of pride in that, because especially when you can make a change in a program, bring in a new coach, and see it grow, like what our soccer program's done in the last 2 years. That's a lot of fun when you see it. Okay, we weren't even making the SEC tournament, and then we made the NCAA tournament, then we won the SEC. That's really fun, and that's one of the big pride points for me.
In addition to football, obviously, you just mentioned soccer, volleyball, track and field, softball, all making huge strides, being very successful. And you have 10 head coaching hires there now. What is important for you when you're looking to hire a new head coach in any sport?
You know, it's different sport to sport, because the opportunities and challenges are different in every single sport. And not to sound cliche-ish, but it's in the world we live in today, I've got to make sure first and foremost that I've got someone that I can trust with my young men and women. That there's too much going on in the world, that the deal breaker for me is I've got to trust and know that I can trust that they're going to do right by the young men and women. That's where it starts for me. Then it's about development and recruiting. And recruiting is a big piece for me. You better have a plan. You better enjoy recruiting. You better be really active. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how good of a coach you are. You better have the student athletes and the players. And it's not just about their ability. It's about their mindset, their ability to develop, they be able to make it here academically. You know, so you have your standard things you're looking for, but then it comes down to fit and gut. And like, when I meet someone, does my gut tingle when I meet them? Because hopefully if I've narrowed it down to 3 or 4, they all meet the qualifications I want. And then when I meet them, I just trust my gut and go, this is somebody I believe in. This is somebody that I want to lead my program.
God, I love that. Like, really, good for you. And obviously it's working out well for you, but I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but you know, I mean, there's so much talk these days in sports about analytics, and I'm not saying analytics are not important, but you have to have a good gut.
I've got a good gut.
That's worth trusting. but I love that you're transparent about it. Like, you've got to have somebody, or you've got to have a feeling about this person that's more than just intellectual.
Yeah, I've just always been a big gut person, and believe it. And I think, look, I'll be honest with you, I am not super talented. I told you I was an average football player, average athlete. Everybody in my department that leads a unit, they do it better than I could ever do it. Like, my CFO, I could never be a better CFO than her. My person that runs development, the person that runs every single categorical item in this department, they all do it way better than I could ever imagine to do it. So I don't have a true talent for any of these things. I think my best talent is doing what I'm doing. Like, you know, I don't know how to explain that, but I just got to go with my gut, because at the end of the day, if they make my gut tingle, then hopefully that means they're going to make recruits and others feel the same way, and they'll be able to get people here, and they'll get people to buy in and believe and what we're doing. So, and look, it's not going to be, nothing ever is going to be foolproof. And unfortunately, in this business, it's a mathematical certainty. At some point, I'm going to have to probably fire someone I hired. And that day will be terrible.
Right.
But hopefully not. I really enjoy the people I work with and obviously the people I've hired, I believe in. And then I think my part of my responsibility with that is to give them every resource they need to be successful and remove the roadblocks, give them the resources to where they can do what we brought them here to do.
Well, in addition to recruiting, setting a record for fundraising in 2023 as well. Also, record-breaking academic year in 2023, setting a new school high mark for cumulative GPA. I mean, you're on a good run here, Josh. And in addition to everything else, let's just say the highest profile sports, college football, you are the first and only team to go back-to-back in the college football playoff. The last team to go back-to-back in an undisputed way was Alabama in 2011 and 2012. It's been 11 years since that. You have a chance to go for three. What happens on Saturday? Like, how are you viewing the game right now? Your comfort level?
I think it's going to, like you said, it's going to be one of those classic matchups. Two really good football teams, two great coaching staffs. For me, I always say the games are won in the trenches. Who controls the line of scrimmage? And then it could come down to a crazy thing happening, a turnover here, turnover there. This feels like a game where it's going to be important. The winner of the game is probably going to win the turnover battle. And unless something crazy happens on special teams, I really feel like the turnover battle is going to be the deciding point of this game. But this is excitement. It's, there's nerves to go into a game like this, but it's also excitement because this is why we do it. You know, so you can't shy away from these moments. We work to have these opportunities. So you ready to just tee it up and let's go and let's see what happens, you know?
This morning in my car, I was listening to Greg McElroy, obviously Alabama quarterback. Greg talking very confidently about how Alabama matches up against Georgia. Alabama should not matter. What happened last week at Auburn is maybe the greatest travesty I've ever seen on a football field. Because here's the thing. The kick six that happens, this is a crazy unexpected play. This is crazy. Fourth and 31, when you have everyone back in the end zone, this is something that should not happen. I said on the record, I know you can't say it, everybody at Auburn, gone, goodbye. Kick them out of the conference. Your feeling watching the game last weekend.
At this point in that game, you nothing surprises you anymore. And I'm going to tell you, Auburn is a crazy place to play where those fans, they do a great job. You know what's funny about the SEC is like, so you after going to LSU and then working at Monroe and playing Auburn a bunch, now being at Georgia, Auburn has been a team I've played throughout the 25 years of my career all the time. And it's a team that you it's a rival. You can't stand them in this and that. Then you meet the people that work there and you just love them. They've got some of the greatest administrators. Their AD is a great guy. And it's like, I want to hate you, man. Like, y'all are so nice and such good people. Like, you're supposed to hate Auburn. And that's the same thing with like Tennessee and Florida and other places. Like, I want to hate you so much, but there's just so many good people in this profession that it's funny that people don't see the behind the scenes side of that, of so many good people.
Yeah, I know. You're being nice, but that was just, I mean, you.
You like how I changed the topic there? That was pretty good.
I did hear you in an interview. I found this fascinating. You just alluded to it right now. You talked about how the SEC athletic directors work really
you've
well
done more, together. You've done more research than anybody I've ever interviewed. This is
there is a camaraderie. There is a, you all are helping each other. This is true. This research is correct. True.
We're our own little therapy group to some degree, some points in time when we get together, because we are some of the only people that know what each other are going through, whether we're dealing with fans or student athletes or coaches or staff or et cetera. Because these chairs can be lonely sometimes. So being able to talk to the AD at Auburn or Florida or Tennessee or wherever and talk through issues and really talk about best practices. We understand that as the SEC goes, we all go. The more successful the SEC is, the better we're all going to be across the board. So there is a common interest in our league doing well. And, you know, we want to get as many teams in the playoffs. So we want to get as many teams in the NCAA tournament and baseball and basketball, et cetera. So there's pride there, and there is great camaraderie, and I really enjoy. We meet in person a few times a year, and we Zoom every couple of weeks, and it's a fun group, and we lean on each other pretty well.
I love hearing that, too, and it makes a lot of sense. I have to ask you about Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan program and what is alleged right now. Is the decision that was made to suspend him for 3 games, do you think that was the right decision?
You know, I don't know. I've tended to always stay in our own lane and not judge other people, because judge not lest ye be judged. But
unless it could come right back at you. Right. Yes. But, no, I understand.
You know, I've been in those trenches before, and I've been on other sides of the table on any situation like that. And you never want to judge, because you know that things can be reported one way, and then there's the facts of a situation may not be what's being reported out. So you try to hold back judgment in any situation like that, because you don't know what, you know, unless you're there, you don't know what the truth is. So I have my own challenges every day. So right. I tend not to.
You stay in your own lane. Well, here's the thing that to me is fascinating. Big time college sports is a business. And now at this moment where we sit right now, the only chance for a Big Ten team to get into the college football playoffs is if it's Michigan. And if Michigan doesn't get in, they're costing themselves and their own institutions a lot of money. So the oversight is all, to me, very confusing.
That's an interesting way to put it. I mean, yeah, because it's a conflicted feeling of pride in the conference and revenue opportunities for the conference. So that'd be interesting to see how they all feel about watching that Big Ten championship game. But yeah, I know. And look, I know fans will probably, some would probably scoff at me saying this, but we root for SEC brethren to do well. You know, we do.
I think most fans do. I mean, at a certain
it's a point of pride. It is a point of pride, you know, because you can look back on it and say, look at our history. Look how well our conference has done in the playoffs. And that's a good bragging point to say, this is the conference that has the best track record.
Right.
In the playoffs. So
I think that's true. I mean, I certainly hear a lot of SEC, specifically SEC chants from fans at certain games, you know, particularly when you get into, like, you know, the NCAA March Madness basketball tournament bracket. Like there's like. Well, they beat us and they're better than us this year, but them being better makes us better somehow.
And then even when, like, someone beats an SEC team and they tweet or chant, oh, it just means more, like, messing with us. It's like, well, you're actually proving our point. When you troll us with that means that hashtag's worked pretty well and it's caught on. So you're using it. So obviously it's pretty strong, you know, so.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Not only did Zyn create the first ever nicotine pouch, we're still America's number one choice for smoke-free, spit-free nicotine satisfaction. It could be because Zyn is made with only 6 simple ingredients, including naturally derived nicotine salt. Or maybe it's because Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day trial. For anyone worried Zyn won't cut it like traditional tobacco, just ask one of the millions of people who have achieved lasting change. You have lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. That's zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If Georgia does what I hope they do and beats Alabama this weekend, it appears all but likely that Alabama will not be in the college football playoff. If somehow it's 4th and 31.
I'm walking out of the building. I'm just walking out of.
You're just gonna walk out.
Yeah.
If somehow Georgia loses, Georgia, should they still be in the college football playoff?
You know, look, I'm always gonna advocate for our team, but you know how we're wired here with Coach Marsh leadership. We're focused on one thing, one thing only. And that's winning Saturday. That's got to be the focus, because any minute we spend worrying about alternative scenarios is a minute wasted. So we've got to be focused on the task at hand. And then
I actually like that, because I've spent a lot of time worrying about the other thing.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, it's a waste of time.
No, you're right. It is a total waste of time.
I do think there was an important statement that was made that I would always fall back to, is that said it's the best four teams. So that's
best
all I ask.
Best four teams.
That's all that's I ask right. for. However that shakes out. Best four teams.
Best four teams.
And if everyone on the committee does that in their heart, then wherever it falls, it falls. But
you know who's the smartest about that? About picking that? The best four teams?
Vegas.
Vegas. Just go to Vegas.
they've got true motives to pick the right four.
Well, yeah, exactly. Basketball team, a highly touted new recruit coming to Georgia. Talk to me a little bit about NIL. Good?
I think there's good and bad, right? I think it's here. I'm an optimist. I focus on the positives of it. The positives of it are student athletes now have the ability to make money off their name, image, and likeness, which is great, because you see a guy like last year, like Stetson Bennett, and others, and now other young men on the team and women we have in other sports, who have an opportunity to go do ads and commercials to help some that can just put money away for the future, some that can help their family right now in need. And that's a great thing, that because there were some really silly restrictions before. Like, why not let if a kid wants to get a local tire dealership to sponsor him, why not? You know, so that's opened some really good avenues for kids can make money. And I think that it's helping some kids decide to stay in school for another year. Now, the bad side of that is tampering and inducements, trying to get people to transfer. We've experienced it firsthand, and people always think it's just football and basketball. It's widespread across many sports. So, you know, there's some bad parts to it that hopefully through congressional work and through the work we're doing with the NCAA, I serve on one of the NIL subcommittees in NCAA. I'm actually going to Indianapolis in December for a meeting that we're trying to put some guardrails around some of these, around collectives and trying to make sense of it. It's not easy. I promise you that. People that are far smarter than I have tried to work through how these guardrails will work. And there's some antitrust issues and other things. But, you know, with anything, I think there's good and bad. I'm an optimist. I focus on the positives of it. And I think it's here to stay in some form or fashion. We just have to keep evolving and doing the best, our best with it to make it the best it can be.
Yeah, that's kind of my question. Like, we're not done with the current system. You think we're still going to
change and evolve? Yeah, it's a current evolution. And hopefully through that, we're learning and finding better practices and ways that we can, you know, we want the NIL, we want the opportunity to student athletes. What we want to do is put guardrails to eliminate the tampering and inducement portion of it. Because what I don't want is anyone using it as inducement for a reason to go to a school. Now, you go to school, you have success, then the world is your oyster. Go, you know, and we will help you within the rules every way we can, provide NIL opportunities for you, make connections with you. We work in partnership with the Classic City Collective here in Athens. It does a phenomenal job. And they do a great job of finding the big deals, the small deals, everything in between. But I don't like it as an inducement. I think you should choose your college destination based on the other reasons, the education, right, the coach you believe in, the place you want to live and all those things. And then the NIL should be a bonus part of it, not the reason, because, you know this, money comes and money goes, but your experiences and all that, the 4 years you have here are going to be way more important than any money you can make in your early ages, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, I absolutely think that these student athletes should have the opportunity to do those things. I think particularly as a fan viewing this from the outside is sort of the combination of the NIL and, you know, the other thing that's been around for a long time, it's just getting talked about much more now, which is the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And so now what it feels like is there's a free flowing market in between schools where people are getting induced to go to different schools. And this, it becomes difficult to root for the players. And I think that's the thing about college sports is, you know, much more than professional sports, it's about the institution, you're rooting for the school, but you obviously want the players to be a part of that. And, you know, how do you feel, you know, what is your feeling about the transfer portal and how that's sort of working? It feels like in connection with the NIL right now.
I think even though a student may wind up somewhere and get an NIL deal after they get there or whatever it may be, you know, it still comes down to when you start playing with a group of guys or gals and you're on a common mission, you forget about all the NIL stuff and you want to go play and win. How, you know, we're talking about 550 plus student athletes who are driven to compete and win. And yeah, the NIL is a part, but I guarantee you in the cultures we try to build here, it's about the team first. And if you can go out and get this opportunity, it's great. But when we suit it up, we're between the lines or on the court or the field, that's the biggest thing right there is being a good teammate and trying to compete and win. You're not thinking about an NIL deal.
Yeah.
Game, you know?
Yeah. It's a tricky thing. I mean, you mentioned specifically kids having that connection to someone that you hired, a coach that they feel like is going to best prepare them either in their sport or in their life.
Yeah. And that's one of the big things our baseball coach, Wes Johnson, and I know Kirby and Mike White and Coach Abe, a lot of our coaches talk about it. It's you got to believe in us that we're going to suit you up better for life. So don't think about the short term benefits now. Because Wes Johnson, our baseball coach, talks about all the time. You can go to school and get 50 grand, 100 grand for 1 year, but I'm going to try to get you in the first or second round of the baseball draft, right, which will lead to a much bigger deal. So you've got to see the big picture. And that's why development is such a big piece of this. And that's one of the reasons that excited me about Wes and bringing him here to coach our baseball team is because the work he did with Paul Skeens at LSU and other guys and showing that, hey, you come here, you may not get a big NIL deal to come here, but you work here, develop, we're going to lead you into a better situation in the draft down the road.
That's right. It feels as though right now with the athletic prowess, dominance, I don't know, that George is having right now, you're not feeling this same pressure and situation. But obviously, Coach Elko just committed to go to Texas A&M. And shocker alert, the next day, their fantastic quarterback, Leonard, enters the transfer portal. So now here's a situation where let's just assume what I don't know, which is that he chose to go to Duke because of the coach. Now the coach is leaving. How do you feel about a situation where if you have a kid who's bought into a coach, a situation, wanting to be with that coach, and then the coach leaves?
Yeah, we've had that. I had a coach leave. I won't name the sport, but a couple of years ago, I had a coach leave. And then two or three days later, I had two or three of the kids asked to go in the portal. A couple followed them to their new school, and you know, one or two more went to different schools. And at that point, that's why I'm kind of okay with the one-time transfer, because I think in life people could be, you know, hey, I want to go back home, or there's another reason.
Right.
I don't like the multiple transfers, but at that point, those kids, you know, they don't owe us, they don't owe me anything. If you know, they came here under one thought and a coach is leaving, I don't begrudge them that. And I'm not going to hold anybody hostage here. And if they want to go somewhere else, then so be it. And we'll find someone else that wants to be here, because I don't want, whether we're talking about a student athlete, a staff member, coach, whatever it is, I don't want anybody here that doesn't want to be here. This is a phenomenal place. And I say that as humbly as I can, but Georgia's awesome. And if you're not bought in, then we're not going to beg you to believe in something you don't believe in. So if it's not in the cards for you, and again, I say this politely as I can, there are other young men and women and other staff people that want to be here, and we'll go recruit them to be here in your place.
No, I get it. I mean, that makes tons of sense to me. You want student athletes who are as excited about the place where you are as most of the people are.
Because this is hard. Being a student athlete is not easy. Being a staff member in athletic department is not easy. Being a coach is not easy. So you've got to make sure that everything in your life is aligned and you want to be here. And if you came under one coaching style and whatever else, or you just feel like, I don't want this change, I want to see, then so be it, you know.
Yeah. College football playoff expanding next season. Is that good?
You know, I think, again, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. It's good, and you know, there's good and there's bad to it. I think I saw a good point about how, you know, that Michigan Ohio State game, you know, it felt really big because it felt like the winner had a chance to be in, the loser would not. And now, if you fast forward to next year, that same game, 11-0 versus 11-0, you feel like both teams are getting in. They're just playing for potentially a bye. So those big games won't feel quite so intense. But go past 1-6. 7-18, 7-19, 7-20, there's going to be more games that are going to be more impactful, where now if 8 versus 15 are playing, people are like, it doesn't really matter much. They're not getting in the top four. Where now there'll be more of those matchups across the board that people are fighting for spot 10, 11, 12. So I think it's better for more schools to be in that mix. And it's going to be interesting to see the logistics of how it's going to work with the, you know, 5-12 playing, and then you know, go to the quarter semifinal. So there's a lot to work through. That it's gonna be new, but exciting nonetheless. And it'll be here next year, so we will see soon enough.
How do you think it affects the SEC?
You know, look, I'm an SEC homer, so it affects us because we're all going to be in favor of trying to get as many SEC teams in those slots as possible. Right. It's interesting to look at the rankings right now and how many teams. Especially when you look at the future SEC with Texas and Oklahoma, we're got a lot of teams in that mix to be fighting for those top theoretical 11 spots, because 12 could be absorbed by the fifth conference champion. You're fighting for those top 11 spots, so hopefully, you know, the goal for us is set up a schedule, set up a format that's going to help us get as many teams in there as possible.
Right. What's your favorite Office episode?
Oh man, that sounds like picking your favorite kid. That's. Oh, God. You know, you got to go for me. Golly, you know, I got to go back to the first season where it was really edgy.
Okay.
The Human Resources Day episode. Yeah. It was just things.
Sexual harassment.
You couldn't do like things. Day. You watched Diversity Day. Yeah. That you couldn't get away with those things today. And it was so great. But I did. You did your prep for this. I did my prep as well. And I did my five favorite Kevin lines.
Okay.
Of all time.
And all right, give them to me.
And I try to go not too obvious, right? Because everybody will point to the chili scene or else. I wanted to do top five, but I had to do a runner-up that didn't make the cut. It was right there. So the runner-up, and this is one I use all the time, Anytime you have 10,001 odds, you always take it.
Always take it.
Because if John Mellencamp ever wins an Oscar, I am going to be a very rich dude. And I'm just, so I've been tracking that. I'm like, if John, I'm just thinking at some point, John Mellencamp is going to be in an indie movie that's going to win. And it's going to be like The Simpsons projecting the future. The office knew the whole time that Mellencamp was going to do stuff like that. So that was a runner up.
Okay. That's a runner up. That's like Auburn last weekend. you gotta take those odds.
If you made that bet 99.9%, you'd be a very rich dude. So number five is the CPR scene. Call it. That's a classic. Number four, classic. I thought Rajiv Gandhi was a boy's name.
Okay, that's an obscure one. Okay, very good.
Oscar.
Give you a little about that. Rajiv Gandhi. I have had people ask me to write that quote. I get when people have asked me to write quotes, and it inevitably turns into a 3 to 4 minute Google session, me trying to figure out how to spell it. Because I don't remember.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, that's a good I bet Clark Williams, my buddy, I bet he knows how to, I guarantee he knows how to spell it. Number three, Oscar, I'm now prone to surges.
Yes, there you go.
That's a good one. Number two, as has Kevin, pause, and then she goes to another school.
Yes, there you go.
And then my number one, which I think now I'm starting to blend what was in and wasn't in, because I think this was a deleted scene.
Okay, I know where you're going. Yeah,
you can ask me directly if she wants a brother. Is that right? Did I quote that right?
How was that line cut? That was, I know.
My God. I know.
The way you
delivered it too.
No, thank you. Yeah.
I love the, Clark and I always go on these deep subreddit wormhole, about was Kevin secretly a genius the whole time is my favorite theory. Like he was just screwing with everybody the whole time to get out of work and just skate by. I love that.
I have been asked about that a lot. Unfortunately, I don't think it's true. It's fun to think about, but I don't think it's true. The last time in college football, back to back to back, three in a row, 87 years ago, Minnesota did it in 1934 to 1936. Is it going to happen this year?
You know, I don't know. I've kept the attitude the whole time of never prognosticating, predicting, just taking it one time because people messed with me. I mean, the number one question I got, we won a national championship my first year as AD, and people kept screwing with me the whole time. You won a national championship your first year. What are you going to do after that? And I was like, I'm just retiring after that. And then we somehow pulled off a second one. Now I'm just like, man, I just literally count my blessings and just appreciate for, all the people here that, Kirby and other people, we obviously get credit or thanks for it. And there's so many people and these student athletes, it's been a special ride and you never want to take one moment of it for granted, but it has been a fun ride.
Let me tell you, you're a good guy. The people around you, everyone that I've met has been fantastic. It's so fun. And I don't know, maybe this is just my perception, but I feel like, at least right now, it may change depending on what happens this year, but you got a lot of people who are rooting for Georgia over the evil empire across state lines. So we'll see if that goodwill holds up or not.
Well, hopefully we get like all the office fans behind us or,
That's right. Exactly. Just for this one game, for these three, four games.
I love Greg Byrne, but I would challenge Greg Byrne to an office quote. Any contest, office trivia. I don't know. I'll have to ask him what his trivia knowledge is of office.
Maybe that's the next thing is we get you and the athletic director at Alabama to do an office trivia contest.
I love it.
We'll see what happens. Josh, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your candor, your insight. When you're listening to this, the game's already happened. I know you've got a busy weekend, which is why we're recording it today. Have a great, great weekend and best of luck in not just football, but the rest of your 21 sports the rest of the year.
Appreciate it. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Thanks, Josh. Josh, thanks for coming on. I know you're busy. Good luck the rest of the year, and go Dawgs! Zick 'em! Woof, woof, woof. Yep, that's what we say. Thanks for listening, listeners. You're going to find me here again next week with a very, very special guest. How can I tease this one? If you were alive in the 80s, in the 90s, you're a fan of this guy. Mm-hmm. I promise. So we'll see you next week. Off the Beat is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Baumgartner, alongside our executive producer, Ling Lee. Our senior producer is Diego Tapia. Our producers are Liz Hayes, Hannah Harris, and Emily Carr. Our talent producer is Ryan Papa Zachary, and our intern is Ali Amir Sahin. Our theme song, Bubble and Squeak, performed by the one and only Creed Bratton.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.